views on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. Today is January 26, 2013, and we're here in the studio. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. We're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at 1460.com. Our phone number here, if you'd like to call in, is 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast, and we're streaming worldwide. Reading Tea Party, Monday night, 6 p.m., Bonneview Baptist, veterans. We're gonna move quickly today because we've got a video to show.
Okay, veterans.
Or to listen to. Okay. Veterans events, current.
Veterans events. First of all, of course, we have the Wounded Warrior Project, that teamed up with the AMVETS Ladies Auxiliary here in Reading. It's coming February 16th at the Senior Citizen Hall. That's 2290 Benton Drive. If you want more information, give me a call at 221-0101 or Treva at 221-7433. And we'll move right along here.
Very good. We're going to queue up this short video. This is USA Watchdog, Greg, Greg on USA Watchdog. But this is a great video clip. And then we're going to get into our special guest, which is Orly Tates. And she's got the Supreme Court case right now that's going to be heard, arguments, I suppose, in February here. So with that, let's listen to this video. We'll come right back.
Hello, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up for Friday, January 25th, 2013. Two words, debt and guns. First up, let's talk about the whole debt issue. You know, the Republicans have suspended the debt ceiling through mid-May. Now, they've come up with this, you know, gimmicky, phony, you know, no budget, no pay thing. But what it really is, it's Boehner and the Republicans taking this political blame game hot potato and throwing it off to Harry Reid in the Senate and said, hey, you know, come up with a budget. We'll suspend the debt ceiling. Here you go. There you go. Come up with a budget. Come up with something we can work with. Now, we still have these big sequesters, these automatic cuts to welfare and military spending, and the military is already cutting its own budget. They already see this coming. So
well,
I'm not sure what happened, and we lost it a little bit.
Well, it's the joys of YouTube, guys, so just hang on a second, and we will get it back. You know, the internet.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. In the meantime, you know, basically, we will correct this problem. This won't happen again.
Well, with that, let me go over a couple other veterans events since we're waiting for her to cue that up. Okay. We have the career fair coming for the Veterans Home of California. That's on January 30th from 8 to 4. So if you're interested in maybe getting a job out there at the Veterans Home, you can show up then or give them a call at 224-3300. Also, I wanted to let people know about the new Veterans Center. This is a readjustment counselor that is new here in Reading, and you can visit them at 2888 Eureka Way. Call and give Ronnie Potts a call if you'd like at 247-7921. This is free for the veterans out there.
Okay.
And
well,
I guess we're queued up now.
Yep, we're ready to go. Let's go.
If people in the U.S. Congress and in government know how dire the economic situation is. They know how bad it is. And according to John Williams at ShadowStats.com, he said, hey, this is the last shot. that Congress gets at fixing the deficit. They did it a year and a half or so ago and then put it up to the first this year. Then they kicked the can again. Now they've kicked it again, and this is going to be it. And what Williams says, who's an economist, he says, if they don't fix it, we're going to have big sell-off in the dollar, big sell-off in the stock market, spike in possibly in interest rates. That's where we are. And I'm interviewing John Williams of ShadowStats.com coming up on Monday. It's a real eye-opener. It's one of the best he's done with me, and I think you're going to want to see it. But the economy is in.
Well, let's, unfortunately, we're having audio problems here. So,
YouTube problems. You gotta love it.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll make sure we iron that out the next time before we do this again. I'll go through the wrap up. We've got this no budget, no pay, talking about, the gimmick there. Debt ceiling on the table. Okay, we're going to have a meltdown, according to John Williams of Shadow Stats. Okay, Senator Dianne Feinstein unveiled a new assault weapons ban this week. She wants to make dozens of guns illegal. It will never get through Congress. But, don't you find the timing kind of odd here? The economy is teetering on the premises of another meltdown, and she wants to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. Meanwhile, zero legislation on the state of the mental health in this country. Zero investigation on all these psychotropic drugs. Pharmaceutical companies are handing them out like cough drops. Zero prosecution on the big bankers that have committed trillions of dollars in fraud and crime against the American people. There is a crime spree. This is a crime spree that is unprecedented in the United States. Senator Feinstein should be spending her time trying to figure out how out of budget and raising a stink about crooked bankers getting off with these massive crimes. They illegally kicked millions of people out of their homes. The president did nominate a former prosecutor to head up the SEC this week, Mary Jo White. Evidently, she's the one that convicted John Gotti. So who knows? Maybe we got a double cross on the bankers from Obama. Watch the Republicans and the Democrats put up a stink over this nomination because she actually might be the real deal here. Let's see. St. Louis Fed has just anointed the latest so-called recovery the weakest in history. So let me say that again. The St. Louis Fed has just anointed the latest so-called recovery the weakest in history. Now think about that for a second. This recovery is the weakest in history. maybe it's not really a recovery. And that's from the Fed. If you have been watching and reading that should be no surprise if you've been looking at any of the news here. The internet is the place to go, I believe, if you're looking for any kind of a real news story anymore. I mean, have we got our guest online?
Yes, we do.
Let me finish this thing out, and then we'll go right to our guest. We'll probably do a break here first, and then we'll get to our guest. On a side note here, Apple stock, look what happened, the day before yesterday. It got killed down more than $60 in a single day. What I'm hearing is that this is another giant pump and dump. A lot of people are shorting the market right now, and they're making a lot of money on these stocks going down. So, look for that to continue in the days to come. And that's kind of the week's wrap up a little bit. I was hoping that Greg Hunter would be able to give most of that to you. But I think we're going to go to a break.
Are we going to go to a break and then bring our guest on?
Yes, we are. But first, we want to let everybody know that we're going to be talking about Obama's eligibility. But this is a case in front of the Supreme Court that is citing voter fraud due to the forged documents and so forth. And none of this got put out in the mainstream media, so we're pretty excited about our guest coming on.
And with that, I think we'll go to a break. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Watch a day in his life. And mama, they're talk going around town saying that papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Dealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just wanted to get
Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. I've changed my Saturday show, Positively Healthy, to include more local chiropractors. Listen to Dr. Todd Royce, Dr. Dave Paris, Dr. Maria Salas, and me. We're on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. Be listening to Positively Healthy, and you might just learn something that could change your life. Again, that's Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460.
Tune in for Haven Humane Society's Animal Talk the last Thursday of each month from 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR Free Fire Media. A Haven Humane Society staff member will make a guest appearance each month to take questions on air about the pet topic of the month. You'll learn about pet health care, pet adoptions, dog training, volunteering, and much, much more. So be sure and listen for Haven Humane Society's Animal Talk right here on KCNR 1460 on your radio dial.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Can you smell it? That sweet, rich, woody smell. That smell that makes your taste buds tingle and your stomach flutter with excitement. That smell you smell is Smoked, the best taste in barbecue. Brisket is here on a sliced pub roll for lunch or dinner. Only $7.50 with a choice of side. Or how about marinated riblets with a choice of side for only $6.50? All sides are made fresh with only the best ingredients. Smoked on Airport at Rancho. 365-2085. Smoked. Ribs, chicken, and killer sides.
I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. She didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then I knew, she could make me happy. She could make me happy. Flowers in her hair.
Yeah, I just couldn't resist that one.
Well, yeah, that helped out after our little kabobble to start with.
Yeah, that's
there you go.
That's for everybody to be happy out there, and nothing's wrong. It's all good. But I'm kind of hoping that our guest here, Orly's going to make us happy. Are you there, Orly?
Yes, I am.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I've been following your work from a distance for quite some time now. Could you give us a little background on yourself, and then we can get right into this court case?
Sure. Well, I'm both a licensed attorney, and I'm also a licensed doctor of dental surgery. I was born and raised in the Soviet Union, and I've seen there what Obama is trying to create here. So from the moment he started running for office, I was greatly concerned, and I started investigating, and so did other attorneys, licensed investigators, law enforcement officials, and the picture that we found is just staggering. Bottom line, Barack Obama is a citizen of Indonesia. According to all the evidence, he was born in Kenya. He lied about his place of birth. As a child, he moved to Indonesia. In his school records, he is listed as a citizen of Indonesia. We have obtained his mother's passport records. Two investigators obtained his mother's passport records under Freedom of Information Act, and they show him listed under a different last name in his mother's passport records. What's interesting, that in 1969, he was, in August of 69, he was removed from his mother's passport record, crossed out. And there is a provision there stating that somebody would be removed, for example, a child would be removed from the parent's record if he obtains foreign citizenship. So we believe that around August of 1969, he obtained Indonesian citizenship and Indonesian passport. That is why in his school records, he is listed as a citizen of Indonesia, and that is why he was removed. But even though his name was crossed out, it shows that he was in his mother's passport records under last name Suyabarka. In his school records, he's listed under last name Suyatora. The difference is in Asian tradition. In South Asia, quite often, families would blend names. For example, a man by name Raj would marry a woman by name Ranga, and they blend names and create a last name Ranga Raj. And I believe what they did there, they used his stepfather's last name, Suyatora, and his first name Barak, and came up with a last name Suyabarka, and he was listed under this name in his mother's records.
Hmm.
Also, I presented the court with an affidavit of the chief investigator of the Special Investigations Unit of the U.S. Coast Guard that shows that Barack Obama's registration for Selective Service represents a flagrant forgery.
Right. Yeah, Zulu, Mike Zulu I had on that. Have you been using any of the evidence from Arpaio's office on this stuff as well?
Actually, Arpaio and Zulu got the evidence from me and from Investigator Kaufman.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Investigator Jeffrey Stephen Kaufman provided me and another reporter, this information back in end of 2008. Back in 2009, one of my clients, who is a retired four-star U.S. Army general, arranged for me to travel to Washington, D.C. and meet with the director of the Selective Service, William Chatfield. I provided him with all this information. And instead of investigating and initiating a criminal prosecution of Obama in regards to use of a forged Selective Service certificate, he used a fraudulent Social Security number. Chatfield simply resigned, and he got a position on the board of a biotech company that is located in California. It's interesting, the biotech company is in Irvine, California. He resides in Texas. The man never even graduated from college, probably doesn't even know how to spell biotech. And there is a suspicion that this was a Chicago, typical Chicago pay-to-play deal where he was paid off. He got a cushy position on the board and covered up one of the biggest crimes in the history of this nation. And as a matter of fact, I do have a number of legal actions. This one before the Supreme Court is not the strongest one. The strongest one is actually in Mississippi, where I'm suing a number of officials under RICO, Racketeering Act, and that has much more teeth. And by the way, the Commissioner of Social Security has already defaulted in that case, and I have filed a motion for default judgment and post-judgment discovery. I also filed a case in the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans seeking to expedite. I filed a petition for writ of mandamus, so I'm waiting to get the information.
Yeah,
judgment.
On the Social Security now, I was,
yes.
You know, I've been kind of following this stuff pretty closely. I thought that you've got a lot of information I haven't heard yet, but the Social Security number has been linked evidently to some New York transcripts to somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, that just came out.
I actually, you know, I've been writing about it for the past 4 years. For the first time, I actually submitted this information back in 2009. I submitted this to Judge David O. Carter in California and Judge Clay DeLand in Georgia. I provided them with a sworn affidavit from a former elite officer of Special Unit Anti-Organized Crime and Anti-Communist Proliferation Unit of the Scotland Yard and a licensed investigator here in California, Neil Sankey. And he showed that Obama, according to national databases, Obama used multiple social security numbers, and the one that he used more often than others is the Connecticut number, 042-68-4425. And the judges have no other words to describe it. They were just criminally complicit. They simply committed treason by covering it all up and dismissing the cases. And moreover, they retaliated against me. Judge Clay DeLand retaliated against me, saying that it was frivolous for me to represent members of the U.S. military challenging Obama. And he sanctioned me $20,000. He believed that by issuing those sanctions, he would stop me and he would stop any other attorney going after Obama. And indeed, most attorneys were discouraged. At this point, I'm the only attorney who is proceeding with those actions.
Wow. We're supposed to have Larry Klayman on next week. I haven't done a lot of background on him, but evidently there's a lot of people, it seems like, that are pursuing this, Arpaio's office, Klayman, you. I was really interested in your case actually getting to the Supreme Court, and I heard that you actually talked to Chief Justice Roberts in some kind of a party, and
it's actually on video. You can go on my website and you can actually see me addressing Chief Justice Roberts and him responding. Go on orlytatesesq.com, O-R-L-Y, T as in Tom, A-I, T as in Tom, Z as in Zoo, orlytatesesq.com. That's my website, and it's on the front page. Maybe now it's on the second page because I've been posting more, but you can actually see the video of me addressing Chief Justice Roberts and him responding. And that was quite a while ago. That was in 2009. He promised he's going to review this. I never heard back from him.
Yeah, and then so, Kennedy, I believe this Kennedy, denied the case, and now they're going to hear the case. And my curiosity, because I can only come up with a couple reasons here that they would want to hear the case, and maybe you can enlighten me. You obviously know a lot more about this than I do, but, either one of two things. Either they're going to set a precedence against the natural born citizenship and this evidence, or are suppress it denying it. Or are they going to, you know, is this going to be a real legal analyzation of the facts and maybe...
No. I actually, let me explain how it goes. In the Supreme Court, they scheduled this for conference. That's going to be February 15th. Now, those conferences are closed to the public and they're even closed to plaintiffs and defendants. It's only 9 justices of the Supreme Court sitting around the table and discussing the cases between them. What worries me, and that's what Scalia admitted to, 99% of the cases, they have no clue what's there. And often they have clerks, they're young attorneys. Most of them are working for a handful of law firms that are connected to Obama, and they are the ones who are writing summary of the cases and proposed rulings, and 99.9% of the cases, the justices of the Supreme Court are clueless. They just rubber stamp any and all garbage prepared by those young, brainwashed, left-leaning attorneys. And in conference, they have three options. They can grant my application, they can deny it, or they can schedule this for oral argument. And what worries me that they might just deny it, as they deny thousands of other cases. I believe that the only way they would actually seriously consider this this case, if media is talking about it, if people are in front of the Supreme Court protesting, because let me tell you, I had a case in front of the Supremes. It wasn't as strong as this one. We had less evidence. But at that time, I had a case in front of the Supreme Court, and it was Lightfoot v. Bowen.
Listen, Orly, can you hold that thought for just a second? We have to go to a break here, but we'll be right back, and then you can continue here.
All right, this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama used to dance for the money they'd throw. Mama would do whatever he could. Preach a little gospel.
sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. GMC is transplant leaves. We hear it from the people of the town. They call us GMC is transplant.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Reading School of the Arts presents Disney's The Little Mermaid at the David Marr Theater in Reading on February 1st, 2nd, and 9th. Adapted from the 2008 Disney Broadway production, this musical features the hit songs Part of Your World, She's in Love, and the Oscar-winning song Under the Sea, all with live music. Have your picture taken with your favorite character after each performance. Tickets may be purchased at the Cascade box office, online at cascadetheater.org, or by calling 243-8877.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. You know, for years, I've tried to stay in shape. Sometimes life gets busy with family, work, activities, so it takes a commitment to take time to work out, and that's a good thing. I know I personally feel so much stronger, clearer, and that I have been good to myself when I do work out. So I go to Adamson's Peak Performance, hands down the gym of choice. The staff of highly skilled trainers approach you like a family. If you suffer from chronic pain or a recent injury, the team at Adamson's will design a program to help you be your best. Go to the experts at Adamson's Peak Performance. Feel safe, informed, fulfilled. It's more than a gym. It's a family. Adamson's Peak Performance also has boot camps. In fact, I'm in one right now. My husband has noticed a difference, and so do I. Adamson's Peak Performance on Bocelli next to Yak's.
Yeah, that's for all you suckers out there that have been listening to the mainstream media. It's like unbelievable. Sorry, Orly. I was having fun there.
Sure.
But, where were we at? Anyway, I mean.
Well, I was talking about the Supreme Court, and I'm just trying to tell you that unless public is really there in front of the Supreme Court and protesting, unless mainstream media is writing about this case, there is a high possibility that it will be swept under the rug yet again.
Well, you know, I mean, let's talk about the mainstream media while we're here, because it seems like they just black anything out they don't want to hear. I mean, you know, you got a Supreme Court case about the president's voter fraud, you know, selective service, which is a felony, a manipulation of Social Security, you know, another felony, and we can't seem to get the mainstream media to even post a, you know, anything about this stuff. I mean, that's kind of telling in itself.
Absolutely. And what I see is exactly what I've seen in the Soviet Union. Our mainstream media is owned by maybe six or eight large networks. And the largest shareholders of those networks, those are people who belong to maybe six or eight wealthiest families in this country. They are the people who put this puppet in power. He is the most profitable puppet they ever had in the history of this nation. When you look at the debt, $6 trillion that was incurred, where did this money go to? Think about it.
Yeah, so, well, we kind of know where it went. We went to support the bankers and Wall Street guys in America and Europe. And, I mean, they did that little audit, and the $16 trillion went to all their banker friends. Those are the guys that are benefiting, and obviously those are the large families you're talking about.
And, you know, those people want him in power because there was never such a massive looting of the U.S. Treasury and the pockets of the U.S. citizens as we're seeing today during the usurpation of the U.S. presidency by Obama. And those are the people who haven't that pocket most of our medium. So it's going to end up being up to us, the citizens. I was in Washington, D.C. protesting. I was standing, actually, right in front of this makeshift stage that they had for the inauguration. The stage was there the day before. And I stood there with this huge sign saying, February 15th, Supreme Court is going to be hearing the case of Obama's use of forged Selective Service Certificate, forged Social Security card, and forged birth certificate. And I put my website and all the information. And actually, I was interviewed by C-SPAN and by a number of other reporters. But that's what people need to do. Even one person can make a difference. And I really need people in Washington, D.C., if they can be there, even one person with a big sign standing in front of the Supreme Court and contacting media and letting them know, listen, I am in front of the Supreme Court because of the case that's going to be heard by justices. You know, something might move. This is extremely important. Today, actually, I didn't sleep at night. I was working on a brief to the D.C. Court of Appeals. As you know, just yesterday, they came up with a decision that Obama unlawfully appointed a couple of members of the National Labor Relations Board.
Right.
That he did it during recess. So I'm writing a motion for reconsideration. I have another case that going to Supreme Court, and that also from the D.C. Circuit. I provided them, actually, I provided the courts, as I said, starting from 2009, cases and information showing that Obama is using a stolen Social Security number. And in 2010, Obama posted his tax returns online, and opened those tax returns, and so did many other individuals. When they were opened with Adobe Illustrator, we could see that Obama did not flatten the PDF file, and it contained his full Social Security number, as well as Michelle's. People started writing about it. It was all over the Internet. So Obama realized that he messed up. He took it off. He flattened the PDF file, and then he put the file right back. However, by that time, thousands of citizens got his full Social Security number and ran it through E-Verify and SSNBS, and sure enough got the response that this number was never assigned to Barack Obama. Clear fraud. So I submitted to Judge Royce Lambert, who is the Chief Judge of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, a request for release of SS-5, which is application for that Connecticut Social Security number that Obama is using. And by the way, after I submitted all this information to court and affidavits from experts, Corsi, he follows all of my cases, and when he saw it, he actually contacted the same people. He copied it in his article and presented it as a result of his extensive journalistic work. But he did mention one word that actually it was in my case. At any rate, Judge Lambert wrote the most idiotic opinion. He wrote that the application for the Social Security number should not be provided under the Freedom of Information Act for two reasons. One, because it's a private matter. I mean, the fact that we have a criminal who is using a stolen Social Security number is a private matter. And two, there is no public interest in knowing. The idiocy and the arrogance of judges and the treason that they're committing, and that they are saying that there is no public interest.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane. I mean, there's no public interest in knowing that this guy is really who he says, that he actually qualifies as a natural born citizen of the United States, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution. You know,
is he a criminal? He's a foreign national, a criminal who is using all forged IDs and a stolen Social Security number.
Yeah, who is this guy?
Exactly. And, you know, another interesting fact. I'm not even sure that this is I know that he was born in Kenya, but I'm not even sure that this is the same guy who lived in U.S. first 5 or 6 years of his life, because I have a picture of Obama with his friend. His friend published it in his picture in Hawaii, and it says there, third grade Hawaii, 1969. However, according to official biography of Obama, he resided in Indonesia since January of 1967. So how could it happen that the same person could reside in Hawaii for 2 years, from 67 to 69, and in Indonesia? He's residing in Hawaii under the name Barry Obama, and then in Indonesia under the name Barry Sritora. From what I understand, there were two separate individuals. It was Barry Obama residing in Hawaii from January 67 to till 69, and then Barry Sritora, another boy who resided in Indonesia during the same 2 years. Then, sometime in 1969, Barry Obama traveled to Indonesia. In 1969, he got Indonesian passport and Indonesian citizenship. And in 1971, a boy came back to the United States. And we don't even know which one of those two boys came back. Was it Barry Obama or Barry Sritora? I believe that the person who came back is Barry Sritora, because he adopted his life history and his studies in Indonesia from 67. So the question is, what happened to Barry Obama? Is he even alive?
Mm.
We have no clue.
Mm. Interesting.
Moreover, there was a woman by name Leah Sritora Saba. And if you go on the internet, you will find multiple interviews with her, pictures, videos, and so forth. She stated that she was a foster daughter of Ann Dunham and Lola Sritora. She provided a lot of information, she stated that she lived with Sritora family, and then later Barry Obama came to Indonesia. She lived with the family, they went to school together, and it's interesting that she suddenly died right before she was supposed to come back to Indonesia, and I'm wondering, you know, what is going on there? Does she know something?
Can we go back to the Kenyan thing? Because you said that you know that he was born in Kenya. How do you know that?
Well, first of all, we have a statement by the top official of the government of Kenya, Minister of Lands, James Orengo, who stated during March 25th, 2010 session of the Parliament of Kenya, that Obama was born there. As a matter of fact, he was giving a speech and stated that U.S. has a multiculturalism. And he continued, how else a young man who was born right here in Kenya, not even a native U.S. citizen, could become a U.S. president? And that's the Minister of Lands speaking during the session of their parliament.
Wow. Hmm. Do you think that through this case that you can do some discovery at all and get his records from any of his college transcripts and so forth? Because that seems to be another big bone of contention as well.
Well, actually, I cannot do discovery in this case because it's already in the Supreme Court, and you cannot do discovery in the Supreme Court. However, I am doing discovery, and as I just now got a ruling by a judge, he just told me to give a little bit more time for subpoenas to Obama and other defendants, and it's a case that is going on in California. It's Greenwald et al. Versus Obama et al., and it's a very strong case that I filed on behalf of presidential candidates and presidential electors. And Mr. Greenwald is a Republican elector representing Romney, and I am doing discovery in this case.
Wow. Well, that's so where do you think we're headed with all this? We got 1 minute until we got to go to break and then come back, and then we got to wrap it up. We're trying to give you as much time as we can, Orly, because I'm definitely on your side of this thing.
Sure.
But
what it is, I need people to help me in being out there in front of those judges, in front of the federal buildings, in front of Congress. I filed a petition with the U.S. Congress demanding immediate investigation of Obama's use of forged IDs. Within days, I got nearly 16,000 signatures please go on my website, olitatesq.com. On the top, there is a picture of Statue of Liberty, and underneath it says take action. Click on that, on this button. It will lead you to petition. Sign the petition, and if you can in any way between now and February 15th, you need to be in front of those judges of the Supreme Court, in front of their faces. Stay there with big signs. Demand to hear this case on the merits, to hear it in oral argument. Maybe if there is demand from the public to hear the case in oral argument, they will do it. If not, they will dismiss this case. But I also need to explain to the public, listen, this is not the end. I have 7 other cases which are very strong in different courts. Every day I'm gaining more and more evidence. With the help of Mr. Henderson, I was able to connect Obama to this Mr. Harry J. Bunnell, whose social he's using. We have the name, we have the social, we have Bunnell's address in 1940 when he resided in New York, and we are continuing investigation. He came from Russia. I'm investigating in Russia all of the connections of the Bunnell family, and listen, I'll get him. In terms of evidence, I already got him.
Well, listen, Arlie, listen, we're going to go to a break, and then we'll come right back and wrap it up. You know, I really love what you're saying, so here we go.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Sugar.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, We the People welcomes John Williams, a rangeland researcher from Oregon. He'll talk about the damage that has occurred to northeastern Oregon's livestock and its economy since the environmentalist-driven introduction of wolves into that region. The silence of the cows may be coming to a cattle ranch near you. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR. The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for 3 generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Everybody's talking about Tapas Downtown, restaurant and bar, bringing fresh new flavors to downtown Reading. A great place to meet for any meal, Tapas Downtown is locally owned and offers a casual dining experience and an all-original menu. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serving brunch on Sunday, featuring fresh ingredients and flavors. Find us in downtown Reading on Oregon Street or call 247-7299. Tapas Downtown, always fresh, always delicious, never a dull meal.
Can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, 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 bright sunshiny day.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. We're here with Orly Tates. Is that how you pronounce your last name, Orly? Is Tates?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
Yeah, continue, Orly. You're doing a fine job today. We're trying to get as much info out there as we possibly can while we got you. So where were we? You sound like you have a little bit of a cold. You all right?
Okay, sure.
Good, good. So where were we? We were talking about, oh, you got this guy as far as evidence goes. It's just getting it in front of the right venue where somebody will actually pay attention. Is that the problem?
Yeah, we need one honest judge. And so far, in 4 years, we couldn't find one. And that's, again, exactly what I've seen in Soviet Union, where the judges were just puppets and were following the marching orders. One thing that people can do, they have to contact Arpaio and tell him to put his money where his mouth is. Arpaio went all over the country making presentations. The problem is he never filed anything with the district attorney. As a sheriff, just talking does not do any good.
Yes, so you got to file a criminal complaint is what he has to do.
Exactly. Not only he never filed a criminal complaint, he refused to appear in court and testify. I had cases in Georgia, Indiana, Mississippi, California. He never showed up to testify and authenticate his own subpoenas. His own affidavits in response to court-issued subpoenas. He didn't comply. And what concerns me is that in August of last year, Obama suddenly dismissed his case against Arpaio for violation of civil rights of Hispanics. And I'm concerned, I don't know if that's the case or not, but I'm really worried whether there was any deal, any quid pro quo, where Obama dismissed his case against Arpaio and Arpaio will never file any case against Obama. I provided Arpaio with all the evidence a year ago. Kaufman provided him. Multiple other investigators provided Arpaio with evidence. He didn't need to do anything. He just confirmed what was given to him a year ago, but he never filed anything. Not only that, I had a top investigator, John Sampson. He's a senior deportation officer. He testified for me in a case in Georgia. And then after Georgia, Corsi and Arpaio contacted Sampson and asked him to fly to Arizona and become a member of his cold case posse. So Sampson went there. Also, Sampson ran for office, and he wanted endorsement of Arpaio. But what they told him after Arpaio deputized him as a member of his cold case posse, he told him that he can no longer testify for me in cases. So not only Arpaio never filed anything with the district attorney or attorney general or FBI, never appeared in court, never complied with subpoenas, he also deprived me of my top witness. He hindered the case. So if he is on your show, or if his investigator Mike Zula is on the show, please confront them and please demand that they stop talking and they start and they just file the complaint immediately. They went around the country, they raised a reported $7 million and then never did anything. And they need to, maybe that's something that will push them to do something. If people will tell them, listen, you either immediately file your findings and your complaint with the district attorney, and then we'll put the pressure on district attorney, or just refund $7 million. Maybe he wouldn't want to refund the money. He'll do something and file the complaint. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I guess, because I think, what a tangled mess this whole thing is. It seems like it just gets worse and worse as far as, nothing seems to happen. We've got all this evidence mounting and, nothing.
Yes, the problem is we need, and that's why I'm asking people, please, 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 you cannot just sit there and expect somebody to do something, because they get to judges, even judges who appear to be decent to begin with, they get to sheriffs like Arpaio. So far, we don't have one single sheriff, one single judge with a strength of character and integrity and honesty who would actually do something. One honest judge could issue an order to compel production of the original documents. We know Obama does not have one single valid original document, and Obama would be moved from the White House to the Big House within days.
Wow.
This is the most serious crime ever committed, and people need to be out there. They need to be in front of those judges, in front of the Supreme Court, in front of the federal buildings where we have cases, in front of Capitol. Call the media if you're picketing, if you're demonstrating, even if one or two of you. Call the media. They will come. They will cover you. And that's what we need to do. And they can also follow my cases. Go on my website, as I said, orlytateesq.com. I've posted all the information, posted all the affidavits. They need to sign the petition to Congress and write to their congressmen and senators and demand answers. For example, I just got an answer from Senator Mikulski, and she writes, well, multiple experts have confirmed that Obama has a valid birth certificate. Guess what? She's not even understanding that she's one of the defendants in one of my cases, in Greenwald's case, because Congress is one of the defendants. And guess what? She's going to be getting a subpoena very quickly with a demand to produce those expert opinions of those multiple experts that confirmed that Obama's birth certificate is valid. This senator is either a complete moron or a pathological liar. The point is that not one single expert has ever confirmed that Obama has valid papers. As a matter of fact, all the experts have written that it's a joke. It's a laughable computer-generated forgery. So I would want to see what she's going to provide in response to a subpoena. So far, they have not provided any documents in response to subpoenas. And as I said, the Commission of Social Security has defaulted in another case.
And it seems like the media's tactic is just anybody who challenges anything just gets smeared as a birther. That's their big tactic.
Well, you know what? And what I do and what seems to work great, you know, I get all kinds of death threats and they're calling me names and they're writing, you're crazy. And my response to them, explain please, how is it crazy to provide to court sworn affidavits from the top law enforcement officers and top experts saying that all of Obama's documents are forged? How is that crazy? And you know what? What's interesting, they changed their tone. They no longer call me crazy. They no longer call me names. And they're saying, well, maybe it doesn't matter. He's a good guy, and he's good for the country, and he's good for the economy. And my response is how incurring $6 trillion worth of debt is good for the economy.
Yeah.
Well, it's Bush's fault, you know. But bottom line, you know, when I ask them, well, explain to me, how is it crazy to provide sworn affidavits from top law enforcement officials saying that all the documents are forged? It's not me. Those are the officials.
Yeah, I mean, somebody should listen.
And then they stop.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I mean, I've been following this. The fact is that he shouldn't be eligible, period, just because even let's say that all this stuff was not valid at all. Let's say that the birth certificate was good and no Selective Service forgery, all this stuff. He doesn't qualify as a natural born citizen according to the Constitution because his father was a Kenyan and by his own admission.
Well, let me tell you something. This is a very tough point. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. The U.S. Constitution does not provide an explanation. What is natural-born citizen?
Yes, if you go to Vattel's Law of Nations, Section 212, that's what the founding fathers used as their nomenclature.
That's true. Well, but so what I'm saying, and I did say this in my cases, well, that was the intent of the founding fathers. Intent is something that you can interpret in different ways. And Obama's attorneys are interpreting the intent of the founding fathers as to mean that a natural-born citizen is one who is born in the country.
Yeah, they're trying to use the 14th Amendment citizenship argument, which really doesn't fly.
They're also saying that his mother was a citizen, and what happens to people, for example, a child is born and the mother does not know who the father is.
Right.
What happens in this situation?
Right.
And what if the father is deceased? And, you know, so they bring all kinds of cases. And this was never actually...
I think we're gonna run out of time here, Orly. Where are we at here? 30 seconds or something? We got 1 minute left to wrap this thing up, so, you know, go ahead and, you know, say, make it as brief as you can, because then we got to sign off here.
Okay. Well, I will end by saying, please help me to bring this to conclusion. The evidence is unrefuted, is overwhelming. It clearly shows that Barack Hussein Obama is a criminal, a foreign national, citizen of Indonesia, who is using all forged IDs and a last name that's not legally his. The problem is just an unprecedented level of corruption.
Well, very good. We appreciate
Yeah, they're going to cut us off here early. We really appreciate you coming on, and we'd love to have you back in a few weeks if we could and talk with you some more on this subject.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a great day.
I guess we're out of here. we'll see you all next week.
See you next week.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Dozens dead in riots in Egypt, the city of Port Said, after 21 people are sentenced to death for involvement in deadly soccer riots a year ago. A local doctor says two soccer players were shot dead today as people stormed the prison where those defendants are being held. The Egyptian military has been sent in trying to restore order. President Obama says his nominees for two top financial posts will crack down on irresponsible behavior and should be confirmed by Congress. Mary Jo White to lead the Securities and Exchange Commission, Richard Cordray to continue as director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
The free market works best for everybody when we have smart, common sense rules in place to prevent irresponsible behavior. That's why we passed tough reforms to protect consumers and our financial system from the kind of abuse that nearly brought our economy to its knees.
The president in his weekly message, South Dakota Senator John Thune for the Republicans on reducing the debt.
If United States credit rating